The News was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio.
Is about to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460, October the 31st. It's Halloween. Carl and Linda Bott, 605-4567 is our phone number, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. It's going to be a busy day today. I mean, there isn't a minute or a second not accounted for, so you're going to have a great time. Anything, we've got calling representatives of ACLU are calling in and on the phone right now. We want to talk about Proposition 47, Baron Browning running for Anderson City Council, and, of course, Mike Quinn running for City Council of Reading. But we'll start off with the news.
Even Google. With the weather. With even Google has a witch or a goblin on there.
Well, let's go to the weather.
Okay. Well, it's kind of goblinish out right now. 90 degrees, 90% chance of rain, excuse me, with a high of 60. It's 56 degrees right now. Showers tonight, which is great. You know, it's kind of fun. Just put a little umbrella under the kids if they're going out. Or better yet, there's some really good places like at the mall that are going to be doing early trick-or-treating, and we'll give you a list of those later. Saturday, chance of showers, and Saturday night, partly cloudy with 44. Sunday around, with mostly sunny, so it looks like the rain's going to break, and then partly cloudy on Sunday night. The weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, where our customers are warm friends, locally owned and operated, where they give senior and veteran discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793. It's the forecast.
That's right. We're here with Spencer, and we're talking dogs, and it's raining cats and dogs out there, and you brought a puppy in.
Yes, I did.
And wait a minute. I got to say, Spencer's here.
From Haven, Humane.
From Haven, Humane, with his hair. He's in costume, and his hair is this kind of a bluish.
I like it.
Spiky.
Sky blue.
Sky blue, of course. How could I have missed that? Oh. Okay, who do we have here? Oh, well, and she is cute.
And she's in pink.
Well, this morning I brought Becca with me, and Becca's in costume as well. She's wearing her little pink tutu. She's a little ballerina. Becca's a two-month-old black and white lab mix. I think she might be like a lab border collie mix. Real sweet and docile dog. She's literally on my lap right now, curled up in a little ball with her head in my hand, just sleeping, out cold. I brought Becca with me this morning. She is rated for a home with kids of all ages. Obviously, she does great with all other animals. She came into our shelter, believe it or not, with five other siblings as strays. And unfortunately, the owners never came looking for them. So Becca is now all dressed up, ready to go trick-or-treating this evening. So she's ready to go home.
This is an adorable dog. Black and white markings, little white paws, little white around her muzzle. She's just sitting here sleeping, and she's good for all ages.
How old is Becca?
About 2 months old.
So she has her shot. She's chipped.
Yes, she is.
So this is what we love about Haven Humane, because when your dogs are ready to go,
they have everything medically included. Mm-hmm. Becca's not spayed yet. She can be adopted today, and she would be spayed first thing Monday.
Okay.
And she would have all of her vet care up to date on Monday. But she can definitely be adopted today. And she... She's
it's
just
adorable.
I mean, a docile dog. What 2 month old puppy sleeps on?
Yeah, she's sleeping on the she's sleeping in your arm.
Well, because you've got blue hair, it might be a little odd. Like I better close my eyes.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
I love your hair.
Okay, now how do they get to adopt Becca?
Well, you could swing by the shelter at 7449 East Side Road, or you could give us a call at 241-1653.
Okay, and also for everybody, it's Halloween tonight, so there's going to be all types of goodies laying out. So perhaps that you should make sure that your animals cannot get to the chocolate or to the candy, so you might want to put them up higher.
Yes, correct. Candy is not good or healthy for any animal.
I have a really quick story to share with you. I know we have to take a quick break. But there was a girlfriend of mine whose dog kept getting sick. She couldn't figure out why. A year later, after thousands of dollars of vet bills, only to find out the dog had gotten underneath her daughter's bed where the Halloween candy had been all year. So it's a good story to keep the Halloween
keep
candy.
Going back in there eating.
And was sick, and they spent I couldn't figure out why it was so sick.
Anyway. Okay. Down Haven Humane, phone number one more time.
241-1653.
This is going to be a great little puppy. All right, Spencer, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Hey, all the different propositions that are going on, I mean, if you can try and keep them straight. But this one, Proposition 47, has a direct impact on a lot of people. Our guest is the Humboldt County District Attorney, Paul Gallegos. Did I pronounce that right, Paul?
But that's fine. Thank you, Carl.
Is that close enough? Okay. Hey, Proposition 47 wants to reduce felonies to misdemeanors. And
well, some. It wants to reduce some felonies to misdemeanors, yes.
Okay, and what we're hearing here is that it's opposed by every law enforcement agency in California.
Well, I don't know if that's true, but to the extent, without a doubt, I mean, law enforcement is generally working to, just like me, I'm a member of law enforcement, make the community safe. This is... the question ultimately is this going to make the community safe or not? And there is disagreement on it, as there should be and there always will be in any dialogue in America about anything, but especially when it comes to public safety.
Okay. Now, the I know you're very familiar with AB 109.
I am very familiar with AB 109, yes, and yeah. Prop 36, and I've been in criminal justice system, if you want to call it that, for 22 years, so I'm pretty well versed in what's been going on.
What's happened to us up here? This proposition may have been looked in maybe in a different light if AB 109 hadn't happened like 4 years ago, because we have had a disaster up here, as have many of the counties with AB 109 and the release of all the people from jail. We've got a revolving door system here that is just unbelievable because we have no room in our jail. And this purports
and Carl,
to...
I'm sorry, I mean to interrupt you, and you're going in and out, but... Yeah. In Humboldt County, we have the same problem. And candidly, talking to my colleagues throughout the state, it is a problem. It is the adjustment with AB 109. I would like to believe, and I am holding out expectations and hope, that we will see adjustments over time. But the short term, we certainly have seen a rise in property crime. In Humboldt County, and I know that is systemic throughout the state, or at least I understand that to be true.
Well, isn't this, won't this Proposition 47 reduce the three strikes down and change felonies to misdemeanors?
Well, first and foremost, I want to be clear to everyone out there. This is not giving anyone a pass. What this does is changes certain theft-related and drug possession offenses to misdemeanors. Theft-related offenses that are less than $950 that are currently felonies would be reduced to misdemeanors. They still go to jail. They still get punished. They remain felonies if they have prior serious or violent felonies or any sex-related offenses. So violent and serious offenders are still going to prison, assuming that the courts send them to prison. And people that are engaged in this conduct will still go to jail if the courts believe they should go to jail. The question is really, first and foremost, where are they going to go to jail? Right now, even without any modifications, they're staying in our county jails. The second is, what are we going to do with the savings associated with, instead of sending them to prison, sending them to jail, reducing them to misdemeanors. And the idea is if we can invest in our law enforcement, our schools, our probation departments, that maybe we can reduce recidivism and over time reduce crime. Because I don't think anyone would say that what we've been doing has been particularly successful in the state of California.
I would agree with that, and I think a big part of that is when we start talking, we're spending $50,000 to $60,000 on every prisoner. You have to take but you have to take a look at where that money goes to. Also, Texas has a big criminal system, and they spend less than $12,000 per prisoner.
Well, and Texas has engaged, frankly, in AB 109 was modeled after the modifications that Texas engaged in. Even Prop 47 is similar, where Texas has adopted similar policies and they've reduced crime. One of the things that Texas did is they actually engaged in studying the criminal justice system. And one of the things that they noticed was that there was a positive correlation between dropout rates in their schools and their prison population. So they started to reduce the cost of prisons, take people, just like AB 109, and reinvest that money in education, probation, and they actually experienced significant crime loss or crime reduction. So we're sort of behind the curve in regards to other states here in the...
But a lot of that money that we spend on the prisons, that's not going to change because it's going to the guards and the unfunded liabilities of the pay for the guards and all the people that are in the that are running the prison system. Isn't that true?
And it's true. Prisons are not just brick and mortar.
No.
You have officers. Officers need radios. They need guns. They need training. They get retirement packages.
Yeah. I mean, when you look at it, a lot of that cost, if you look at the cost of prisoners, is in cost of salaries, medical care, and retirement provisions.
Well, though that's true. But the problem is, Carl, is those are expenses that are mandated upon the state of California by... first and foremost, as it relates to prisoners, by the Eighth Amendment. So the courts have consistently said, hey, if you're going to incarcerate these people, you have a duty to provide adequate medical care, psychiatric care, things of that nature. The costs associated with prison guards, well, you know, they have a powerful union. And that's
what I think is part of the problem. Hey, Paul, we need to take a quick break. My guest is
absolutely,
and we'll be right back after these messages. My guest is Paul Gallegos, who is the district attorney over at Humboldt County, and is a supporter of Proposition 47. We'll be right back after these messages. Carl Lindebot.
Hello, I'm Patrick Jones, and it's unfortunate that the Reading Peace Officers Association does not value volunteers in policing. Most cities in America do. In fact, I think it's one of Reading's strongest attributes. Quality people is what Reading is all about. And while the chief and I have had some early scheduling conflicts, I can assure you we are meeting weekly. So I hope you join me this November 4th and vote Patrick Jones for Reading City Council, paid for by the Committee to Elect Patrick Jones 2014.
At Cypher Sore Eyes on Cypress Avenue, we support our veterans and provide competitive prices and the personal service you can only get from a locally owned eye care professional. Right now, with your purchase of a complete pair of eyeglasses, we'll subtract $100, plus we'll give you a second pair of glasses absolutely free. This is a standalone offer not valid with any other offers, discounts, coupons, or insurance programs. Some restrictions apply. Please see our store for complete details. Cypher Sore Eyes has same-day service, precision-crafted lenses, and a large selection of stylish designer frames. Or if your budget is tight, we also have a large selection of budget-friendly frames. Fast, friendly service, reasonably priced eyewear, and veterans discounts are our specialty at Sight for Sore Eyes on Cypress Avenue next to Leslie's Pools. We accept all current doctor's prescriptions, all major credit cards, and we do your insurance paperwork. Sight for Sore Eyes. Call 722-9992 for an appointment today. We look forward to serving you.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 17 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta County. We've been blessed with over 4,000 customers that have chosen us to be their propane supplier. Our motto is, our customers are warm friends. Speaking of warm, summer is gone and fall is here. Now is the time to consider your propane service for this upcoming winter and give us a call at 365-3793. The price difference could be significant between companies, but price should not be the only consideration. Safety is our first priority, so we perform safety checks when we set a new tank. If dealing with a locally owned, family-operated company is important to you, then please give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. Give us a call and let us call you one of our warm friends.
This is Carl Bott, and I'm here with Ted Leidy from Northern Firearms Instruction.
Join us on November 22nd and 23rd for a private CCW class to raise money for the Turtle Bay Historical Exhibit, Liberty on the Border.
This class is private and limited seats are available. It's also tax deductible, and firearms and ammunition can be provided at no charge to complete the course.
Join us for this great two-day class by calling 530-999-1822 or visit Northern Firearms at readingccw.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I will see you at the Turtle Bay Historical Exhibit, Liberty on the Border.
Hi, this is Zoe from Zoe's Travel Shop in the Mount Shasta Mall.
We're open 7 days a week for all your traveling needs. Make travel fun where you can find items that are safe and fashionable. We carry brands such as Ex Officio, PacSafe, Dakine, Eagle Creek, and Briggs & Riley. That's Zoe's Travel Shop located in the Mount Shasta Mall.
From city streets to country gravel, your fun begins at Zoe's Travel. And don't forget to check us out on Facebook.
The Monster Mash. Welcome back to KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott here. This portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Go in and check out where they have the best coffee beans in the North State. The best deal, pumpkin latte, is in the air, as well as the biggest walk-in humidor in the North State. Always great deals. Friendly, veteran-owned business. And go in and say hello to Shelley and Joe. They've been supporters of this station since we've hit the air. And by the way, we're going to be celebrating 6 years in business that we've been broadcasting our show. Let's go back to our guest who's on the phone.
Paul Gallegos, who is the DA in Humboldt County. We're discussing Proposition 47. Paul, one of the things that this says is it takes the felonies and drops them to misdemeanors. That means anybody that's had felonies in the past, are they all count as misdemeanors now?
No. What it does, Carl, is it allows, first of all, Proposition 47 only changes some current felonies into misdemeanors, and those are drug-related offenses and those are theft-related offenses. So serious, violent felonies, dangerous people still stay in prison, still go to prison. That's not the issue at all. Sex offenders, the same thing. If Prop 47 passes, those people that were convicted of a felony under the law that were stole property in less than $950 or were solely possessory offenses with drugs, they could be sentenced. They have a right to petition the court to resentence them. Of course, if the court finds that they are dangerous or pose a threat to the community, the court will not resentence them.
They can also...
So it's an option that they have to be resentenced, but it's not a necessary...
Right. Now, I understand there could be 40,000 prisoners going and hit the court system saying they want to have their felonies dropped to a misdemeanor. And any way you look at it, everybody is saying, and I think all sides are saying, we're going to have about 10,000 prisoners released. What do we do with these people when they hit the streets? They have no support system. There is no support system out here for them. There's no jobs because the economy's in a crapper. And we've found here is that AB 109, after the realignment, they're pulling money back now.
Right.
What are we supposed to do with these extra 10,000 people, Paul?
Well, first of all, the extra 10,000 people, assuming those numbers are accurate, are not going to be in Redding. They're going to be throughout the state of California.
We'll get our percentage.
Thing is,
Trust me. Sure.
They're not necessarily going to be released. That is inaccurate. What they will be is resentenced. So if they were sentenced to prison, and they are that prison felony sentence is reduced to a misdemeanor, they can still do jail, and they probably still will do jail, because if they were sent to prison in the first place, they probably have a pretty significant criminal record.
I agree on that. However, if it's changed from a felony to a misdemeanor, don't the sentencing guidelines change too?
Well, the sentencing guidelines change because instead, what happens is their sentence is reduced.
Right.
So some of them may be reduced, may be released because their sentence has already been served.
Right.
But I don't know how many people are actually going to be released. But what I can tell you is this proposition provides for the savings from those people being released. That if they're released from the prison, the savings, that average of $67,000 per year that we have from no longer having that person in prison, gets directed right back to the community for the sheriff's, district attorney's office, probation department, mental health, to actually provide services to these people that aren't currently in place.
Oh, okay. But I probably, you know, maybe I wasn't clear on this, but the money that for AB 109 that we were supposed to be getting, they have cut. And they've, and even though we've got the same amount, they've cut it because, for whatever reasons. Also, they've said is that if we send people back to jail, they're going to cut it more, or send it back to prison. I mean, there's something wrong here, Paul. That we've got people, we've got our crime rate has jumped up. We get these people in the, we have no, there is no jobs out here. There is, they have no families out here. And I mean, this is just a recipe for disaster for them, isn't it?
You know, I think that really this is not. I think what this is giving, first of all, Carl, growing up, my dad always said, if what you're currently doing isn't working, do something else. And I think that's exactly why I signed on to this. It's like, look, we have a problem here in the state of California. Let's look for some solutions. There have been other states that have engaged in this. They have found that it has reduced crime. I'm willing to do that. I want my community safe for my family, for my friends, for my community. But I know that we need to look at what is working elsewhere and see if we can do that here. Yes, we will. There will be people that are released into this community. AB 109 was written into law, unfunded largely. The governor has worked to get funding, but yes, we have problems with that. But these are people... the people that would be released under Prop 47 are low-level drug offenders and low-level, thieves.
Yeah,
I don't
you
want
what?
Them stealing
okay,
from
this
me.
Means,
my
I,
wife has a, is a business person.
Right.
I don't want her stealing from her or other people.
Your wife's walking down the street, somebody comes by, and they snatch your purse.
That person would not be released. That's robbery. That has nothing to do with this. Robbery, someone stealing by force. They go to prison. There's
okay.
no ifs, ands, or buts about
What about when
that.
They... When
someone
they
breaks into a house...
Steals a gun?
I'm sorry, what?
Breaks in your house, steals a gun?
That's burglary. That's a felony. They go to prison. So that argument that someone steals a gun, it's a misdemeanor, that is completely false.
Why is that false, isn't it? If it's under $900?
Well, if the gun is under $950,
yeah.
then the actual... that is one charge, the theft... But also, how they got that gun?
They break in your house here. If people break in your house in this town, and I think other towns throughout California, and nobody's hurt, and they just steal your stuff, they get caught. Guess what? They're back on the streets in a couple of hours.
Right.
Well, I mean, there's no change on this, except now they've stolen a gun.
Well, no. First of all, the burglary is a felony with this proposition, too. So someone breaks into your house, they steal anything, that's a felony. They go to prison. If someone... grabs a gun from you. That's robbery. That goes to prison. This does not change that. It turns theft under $950 into a misdemeanor. And people have said, oh, well, now stealing a gun is not going to be a felony. No, false. One thing, possession of a stolen firearm is a felony. Possession of a firearm as a felon is a felony.
But wouldn't
Once again, burglary, felony. So really, we're not... making someone that is a dangerous criminal more accessible to this community. We want dangerous, violent people removed from this community.
Okay. Hey, Paul, I'm really glad you called in today.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for the opportunity to speak.
The thing is that with what we see after the realignment of 2011, what has happened out here, we see what could possibly happen or what we think is going to happen when you turn another, because Shasta County, we will get our percentage of that. And whether it's 300 or what, 200, 100, we're going to get our percentage of it. And we see what's going on right now. We see where almost all of the law enforcement agencies are against this. And yet, I don't know if it's from what it looks like in the polls, 47 could pass.
I think, candidly, Carl, I think it would be good for the state of California. But let me tell you, we have the same things here in Humboldt County, and we have seen it too. I do believe, and I am holding out hope, as I said, that AB 109, we will see the return on that investment, just like other states have. There is that process. And I do understand the fear that people have. I think fear is a natural emotion. I don't think it's a good reason behind policy. I think we want to try to make policy based on evidence and make things that work. You know, if this was the medical community you were looking at, you would say, wow, you're really not doing a very good job. If this was, you know, across the board, if you looked at other things, you'd say, the criminal justice system is not doing a very good job of what it's doing, so maybe we should start looking at data and actually looking at what works elsewhere, and rather than just sort of shoot from the hip and say, wow, this is, I want to stop this crime. I don't want to change anything. I want to continue to send people to prison.
But
look at systems that have worked.
Well,
and work to make something that works here in the state of California so that we can not just punish crime, Carl, but also work to prevent it.
And everybody wants to do that. You need to, you know, and you need to start it in the schools and all that. But unfortunately,
you really do.
Unfortunately, when we did the realignment in 2011, this was the same thing that was being said, and you know that. So and look what's happened. And so this is where the fear is that the state's not going to follow through. It's going to get even worse. And where's the, you know, that we, the infrastructure isn't there for anything that's happening. So this is a long-term thing you're talking about. This is like win their hearts and minds for a whole generation, Paul.
Well, you know what it is look how much money we spend on prisons.
Yeah.
We have totally divested ourselves of educating our kids. If we can get our kids educated, get them through school, Carl, instead of being a drain on society, they're going to be people that work. They aren't taking money off our, you know, welfare, social programs. They work. Their income is taxed.
I will never,
they own property. They're productive members of our
community. I will never argue with you about that, about education, though we spend more per child than other places. But
actually, we spend some least amount in the country. So we're really
we need to get the kids through school
in the state of California. Yeah. So
I've got to run,
across
Paul.
The board, there's room for improvement
everywhere.
In the state of
California. But I really appreciate you coming on, Paul, and you're an ardent supporter for this. You're very passionate, and we appreciate you being on.
Well, Carl, I appreciate the opportunity, and thank you very much. Have a great day, and happy Halloween.
Hey, you too. All right. Hey, we're going to take a quick break here. Carl and Linda Bott, we've got Baron Browning coming with us when we get back.
Running for Anderson City Council, KCNR 1460.
I'm Francie Sullivan, Vice Mayor of the City of Reading. I have deep roots in this area. I was born and raised in the Bitterroot Valley of Montana, but I've had family here since before Lassen erupted. My husband is retired, and we could live anywhere. We choose to live in Reading. We love living in a friendly, generous town. We're grateful for the parks and trails that help keep us healthy. And we're grateful to live in a community that knows how to come together to solve problems. Together, we'll make Reading a safer town. I want to invite you, the public, to become part of the process, made up of all of you, the City Council, and city employees, to make Reading thrive and be the best place to live, work, and raise a family. With safe neighborhoods and quality jobs. I'm Francie Sullivan. I'd appreciate your vote on November 4th for the Reading City Council. Paid for by the Committee to Elect Sullivan for City Council 2014.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Reading Yellow Cab. At Reading Yellow Cab, we have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night in the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Reading Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Reading Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation with clean, comfortable cabs. Give us a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
Everybody calls us. Summer, fall, winter, and spring. We've got the best. It's hard to guess who's going to make our telephone ring.
At Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning, everybody calls us, 221-2642. Because when you call 221-2642, we help keep you cool. 221-2642. Be cool with Alliance Heating and Air. 221-2642. Now you say the number.
Everybody calls us.
Shasta County supervisors tried to pass a ban on outdoor medical marijuana cultivation. This new proposed law will be on the November 4th ballot, and it's called Measure A. Measure A will force all patients to store their marijuana in a specifically designed and permitted detached accessory structure, costing the patient over $12,000 to build. Without this building, Measure A will make both the outdoor cultivation and storage of medical marijuana a misdemeanor charge for thousands of otherwise legal patients in Shasta County. Vote no on Measure A. With Measure A, the county and or sheriff's department could inspect your property without a warrant, solely on the merit of suspicion of cultivation. Measure A is a violation of constitutional rights. Vote no on Measure A. Protect your rights and register to vote before October 20th, then show up to the polls to vote. Vote no on Measure A. This ad was paid for by the Shasta County Citizens No on Measure A Ballot Committee.
Who you gonna call?
Woo! Oh, God, the first time I heard
I went those Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
I don't afraid no ghost. You know what? You ought to see Samantha. You ought to see Savannah in here today. She's got her KCNR baseball hat on and her green Shrek-like earphones. Are they cute or what?
So cute. I want
are those.
Are they
cute? Oh, look at you.
I can't take credit. These are not mine.
Oh, those Bobs.
Those are bad Bobs.
Yeah. You know I want
what?
A pair.
But look at you.
I mean, I want red.
Cute. It's cute. Okay.
Hey, if you are afraid of ghosts and you don't want to be out there on the streets tonight, give us a call here right now, 605-4567. Again, let me correct that number that kind of jumbled out of my mouth. 605-4567. And we have two tickets for tonight's performance of Hello Dolly. That's right. That's at the Cascade Theater. It's Reading Christian School, so it's all put on by kids. Always a fantastic production.
These are
center orchestra seats. And again, two tickets for Hello Dolly. That's tonight. So you got to come get your tickets now or before 12 o'clock this afternoon. And what a great way to spend Halloween. What'd you do? Well, we went to go see Hello Dolly at the Cascade Theater.
They were in here yesterday, and they're great little, they're great singers, and this is going to be a great night out there. So 605-4567. Okay. We're here with Baron Browning, who is running for Anderson City Council. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, there's two spots open and three people running.
That is correct.
So what do you tell us a little bit about yourself, Baron?
Well, I was born in Oregon and served in the United States Marine Corps, and then
thank you for your service there.
Thank you
Semper
so much.
Fi.
You too, Semper Fi. And then back to Oregon and moved to California in 1999, and then met my beautiful wife in Sacramento, and she's from here, so we moved back to Anderson in 2006.
Cool. So is this the first time running?
It is. First time running, but I've been heavily involved in the city. I'm the president of Anderson Explodes.
Right.
And the president-elect of Anderson Rotary.
Oh, okay. So you've very much involved. Okay, get it.
And then almost two years ago now, a year and a half ago, I was involved with helping the Clover Fire Relief Fund.
Okay.
So my daughter and I did that, and we were on your show about that, actually.
So now it just seems natural for you to evolve into now running for a seat on city council.
Yeah, I've been involved in business my whole life. Worked for Anheuser-Busch in the recycling division for a number of years, and before that,
I've recycled a lot of Anheuser-Busch myself.
A lot of people have, yes.
Hey, what do you see as the main problems facing Anderson, Baron?
You know, I think our biggest issue that I see anyway, when you look at the budget, is our budget. Some of that's transparency. The half-cent sales tax went through, so that covers our public safety portion, but I think a lot of the public are looking for transparency from that. I think we need to look into different methods of getting that on the web so that people can view to see where that money's really going. I know our police chief has done a great job in recruiting for three more officers that will be coming on board very shortly to take care of some of that gap that we've lost over the last 5 years. We were down five officers over the last 5 years with no money to put back into that. So that put a strain on, you know, how many officers you have per shift and what's really needed in the city of Anderson. So that will bring it up to three officers per shift, which will be great for our city.
Let's talk about your issue. The issues that you're running on. What are the three things that you feel strongly about?
Number one is obviously transparency with that half-cent sales tax, and where's that going to go? Obviously, half of that goes into the public safety, which we just talked about, and the other half going into the general fund. I think, you know, if you listen to the people, I've been to a lot of different places in the city of Anderson and talked to a lot of different people, and their concern is, where is that other half going, and what are we going to do with it? And they all say that we need more in our parks and recs department. If you go on our roads, they're not trimmed. We have branches falling down, and that's because we only have 1.5 people out there due to the budget. So as that money comes in, which will be in January, February, March, I understand the first lump sum will come in from the federal government or the state in March. So I think that should be a big push, that we get those people out there and clean up our roads and streets so people can ride down the bike paths and ride along the side of the roads and things like that.
Is three officers enough?
I think we'll still be short a couple. Absolutely.
Well, then why not use more of the money that's brought up for public safety?
There is more money there. I think the chief has done a good job at looking at that. And based on the budget, there is more money. There's enough for two more. But he's holding back to make sure that money really comes in. You don't want to overspend, and then you don't actually get all that sales tax money that comes in.
Well, I understand that. But it says at least 50% goes to the police. At least 50. I mean,
yes.
It could be 75%, right?
Yes.
If you needed it for
absolutely,
for
if
that.
He comes to us and says, you know, we need two more to make our streets that much more safer, and these are the reasons why, absolutely, I'd vote for it because that's what the public
that.
Absolutely,
okay,
absolutely, because that's what the public
that's
voted
what
for.
That's what I was getting at, because yes. When you see you raise a tax and at least 50%, and then you're still short three police, but we're still hiring on, we're still giving raises, in other words. I don't necessarily mean that.
No, I understand.
That you're doing that. But
well, and I think that's the public's concern is we're just going to take that money. We're going to, you know, we're going to give everybody a raise. And at least from my standpoint, that's not the case.
Okay. Unfunded liabilities in Anderson. What kind of, we're here in Reading, of course, we've got $300 million. I don't know. What about Anderson? How are y'all handling that? You know?
You know, I don't see us as having a lot of unfunded liability at this point. We got a pretty good reserve. With us at this point, so I think we're doing really well when it comes to that. Here's my other concern is the 5% increase on sewer and water. You know, we just took them for a half-cent sales tax, and then we turn around, you know, a few months later, and we say, now we're going to increase your sewer and water 5%. If you looked at the current budget, the sewer last year, budgeted this year, and budgeted next year is in the black. So why did we increase it if we're in the black? So I went out and visited the sewer treatment plant, asked them what was going on. They said, we've got some stuff coming up. We've got, eroding lines. This money is planned for that because, obviously, you can't have sewer going into the rivers and streams. So that's important. And my next question was, we have all that land behind it. Have we looked at alternative energy to cover that? Our biggest mm-hmm. cost when it comes to sewer and water is electricity, and we get that from PG&E. So if we looked at alternative energy, if we looked at solar, have we looked at other methods from cities around us? There's a few cities in our area, at least in Northern California, that have gone to cattails. So that not only cleans the sewer stream from that, but it also creates a gas, which then they're using for energy. So those are things I think we need to look at rather than going after our taxpayers again for another increase. And there
seems like
water.
It seems like it's hit people when you're talking about people on fixed incomes, retirees, veterans, all those.
We know our bill has hit us, and every time we look at the water and the sewer, it goes up.
And the electricity goes up, and yet I see them spending $10 million on a building, buying property around it, and raises for everybody at RU. So that's one of the, and cutting off the power to veterans.
And that's the one thing the city of Anderson has done that I have, you know, read mm-hmm. up on is they've not gotten raises. And in turn, what they did was they did a contract based on what the income of the city would be. And if it's X amount, then you get a raise. It hasn't been that clearly because of the down economy. So they haven't gotten one to this mm-hmm. point. So I think they've done a good job at forecasting the future, what that will look like. And if there's the money, then yes, here right. it is. But if it's not, then no, I mean, there's no room for that. Not just an arbitrary raise because you've been here 5 years.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like time and service.
Right.
Because, you know, you've got to give a certain, you know, certain one, but you don't have to automatically promote people and give them raises if they don't deserve it.
And some of them earn them because they move up the ladder.
And that's fine.
And that's great.
That's fine.
But you don't just go normally, you don't just go give one when you don't have the money. I disagree right. with that wholeheartedly.
Good.
So, Baron, what is your let's say you take office, what's the first thing that you want to do? I mean, if you like the top priority for you, the first
economic
on the list.
Growth and development in the city of Anderson. If you look at the city of Anderson, our I-5 frontage is we have a lot of it. We have great I-5 access. We have signs that can be put up along I-5, both north and south. You've got the Roseburg annexation that's coming through. We need to be getting out to the business expos, to the electronic expos, to all of those expos, and letting everybody know where the city of Anderson is and what we have to offer. If you look at the city of Anderson and the cities around us, we are 30% cheaper on permitting fees than cities around us. We're 30% cheaper on sewer and water. Those are the things that you've got to tell businesses that we are. Not to mention the fact that in the city of Anderson, compared to cities around us, we're 9 to 12 months from the time you start the permitting process to the time you're breaking ground. Cities around us, 2 to 3 years.
Well, that's
cool. Are you
saying
that's for Reading, 2 to 3 years?
I'm saying cities around us.
Well, I mean, is that for Reading? Because that's something I'm going to ask next time I go. Is it really 2 to 3 years?
I look at it, that's correct. Yes.
Okay. Hey, look, we're going to take a break. Baron Browning is our guest, who is running for Anderson City Council. This portion of the show has been brought to you by Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur, right here in Reading. And John Bastiani ensures that he has the ammo and the weapons that you need or that you'd like to buy, and he has them at very, very fair prices. Plus, he's one of the best gunsmiths in the whole area, in all of Northern California. His staff is user-friendly, and they believe in customer service. Bastiani Arms, 222-8222. And just a little thing here on the side is that John Bastiani donates a lot to a lot of charities around here. He provided an iconic pistol, the Colt revolver, and Colt Python, and for free. And he donated all the funds that was brought from that raffle to the Military Order of the Purple Heart. It's not a big, people don't really know that, but he's done a lot of stuff around here for our veterans too. Bastiani Arms. All right, let's take a break here. Oh, Carl Lindebot, KCNR, 1460.
Vote yes on Measure A. Ban outdoor pot grows. Had enough of nauseous smells, crime, intimidation, water thefts, and environmental damage? Stop outdoor marijuana cultivation. Join us and vote yes on Measure A. Ban outdoor pot grows for a safe and healthy community. Vote yes on Measure A. For more information or if you would like to help, call 225-8836. Paid for by Citizens for Yes on Measure A.
Hi, my name is Kristen Schrader. I was born and raised here in Reading. I went to local schools and raised a family with my husband, Jack. I'm running for City Council because I have the skills and experience to collaborate and work with other council members to find effective solutions. I'll make sure our city is safe and maintain our infrastructure. As a business owner and elected school trustee for the past 16 years, I know how to make tough choices and balance budgets. On November 4th, vote for me, Kristen Schrader. I'll get things done. Paid for by Kristen Schrader for City Council 2014.
Hi, this is Dr. Ed at North State Nerve and Spine Institute. It amazes me that most patients are not aware that peripheral neuropathy can be a fatal disease. Untreated peripheral neuropathy can lead to amputation of the fingers, the toes, and eventually death. At North State Nerve and Spine Institute, we've been using a new technology from Europe and have seen some amazing recoveries. If you're suffering with tingling, pain, or numbness in your fingers or toes, or you've been diagnosed with peripheral neuropathy, take advantage of our free 7-point evaluation to determine if you're a candidate for this new revolutionary treatment. Call us today at 530-302-3555. That number again is 530-302-3555. I'm Dr. Ed. And we are North State Nerve and Spine Institute.
Are you tired of the rising city crime rate due to our ever-increasing transient at AB 109 population? A yes vote on Measure F would send a clear and simple message to criminals. You will serve your time. Shasta County has had its AB 109 budget cut and a limit placed on the number of felons that can be returned to prison. If the limit of criminals returned to prison is exceeded, further budget cuts will occur, allowing more felons to roam our streets to commit more crimes. Monies generated by Measure F will be used for support personnel and to send criminals convicted in Shasta County to other counties, freeing up our jail to keep convicted criminals in and not being released to commit further crimes. 75% of the budget would be used to purchase 37,000 days of incarceration in other counties. Measure F will provide an ongoing revenue stream to get the AB 109ers and transients under control. Vote yes on Measure F, and let's get them out of town. Paid for by the Committee for Yes on Measure F.
It was a one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people
leader. Oh, my gosh. Purple leader. I kind of want to do like a little chain link dance on that. Hey, Alliance Heating and Air. Well, you know, it's kind of like kids. I don't know. You link arms and do like cross your legs and go down. Okay. Musical chairs. Serving the North State for over 20 years with outstanding service to all models and makes of heating and cooling systems. You like the you like the visual, don't you? You miss me. Warranties guarantee 7 days a week and 24-hour service. Alliance Heating and Air. We use them. We love them. And we actually have them on a, you know, a yearly contract thing where they come out and they change our filters. And they're just honest guys. Don't mind them crawling around under my house. Give them a call at 221-2642 or check out their website at homecomfort.org.
Our guest is Baron Browning. We have our chat rooms going like crazy in here. And somebody said, one of my fingers isn't working. So I typed back and I just said, which one? Except I spelled which wrong. So, I mean, it's like, you know what? My fingers aren't working either. So
you mean like which? Like, yeah, like well, no. Which?
Yeah, well, or it came out to wick. Wick one. Oh. Wick one. Baron Browning is our guest running for Anderson City Council.
Welcome to Friday.
Yeah, welcome to Friday. Baron, one of the things you talk about is looking forward into the alternative energy, and I really like that idea. Is Anderson big enough to bring in the internet, a big pipe? Do you think that would the big pipe internet, you know, so that you know the like software firms can hook into that and
absolutely
high speed access? Is Anderson big enough for that?
Absolutely, yes. They're definitely big enough for that. When you look at the what will the Roseburg annexation do for us, you run it right in there. You have tech firms that come into there. I absolutely can go in there.
Could you share with us what the Roseburg annexation is?
Well, the Roseburg Mill obviously closed some time ago. The properties there, they came to the city of Anderson some time ago. They are what would be on the south side of Anderson off of I-5, which would be directly across from Walmart. So that whole land over there,
right,
which is in the front of what used to be the old Simpson Mill.
Okay.
So that's the area that we're talking about. It already has its own wells, its own water. It already has electricity. Clearly, plenty of energy when you ran a Roseburg Mill, right?
So is it shovel ready?
It is shovel ready.
Do you still need like CEQA and stuff like that?
It probably would require some CEQA, but I'm not sure it would be a lot. My understanding is it's already been looked at. There's not contamination there like there is with the Simpson property. So it has been looked at. So I don't think it would require too much.
The reason I ask that is if something's shovel ready, like they, you know, like Stillwater, look how lucky Stillwater's been. I mean, look how many businesses they have out there because it's shovel ready and ready. What? Oh, that's right. No businesses. But I'm getting at though is that they are if it is shovel ready, that you know if somebody can just plunk it in, if you've got lower permitting, lower everything like that, it only takes you less than a year from the time they start to the time they break ground. I mean, that's just a plus.
And it's not city property, so they would negotiate with that landowner. We're not negotiating the deal as the city. We're putting the two together. And I think that's a huge difference. So we're not invested in the property where we have to have it rented or we have to have it bought or we have to have it leased. We're just saying, here it is. Here's what we have to offer. It's I-5 frontage property. We have the roundabout that's been put in, so you have excellent access now.
Which, by the way, I use that. You know, I was going out to visit from businesses out there, and I, you know what? That works really well. Mm-hmm. I mean, I like roundabouts personally. I think it makes people more
very Italian.
It's very European, but I think it also makes people more polite. Believe it or not,
absolutely.
I think it does. And you can teach people to you know, hey, let's all merge.
Yeah, let's wait.
Let's all merge into the United World Order.
Okay, Shasta outlets. Shasta Outlets.
Well, if I could just make one brief announcement along with economic development. I am currently working with Steve Will from Cantica Foods to figure out a location for him in the city of Anderson.
Okay.
So that's big for us.
Yes. Cantica didn't...
They burned down
here in Redding.
Right downtown from us.
And he can't get it built. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. He seems to be having issues.
How big a business is Cantica?
Well, they have a mill or they have a facility now in the Bay Area and they have a facility in Oregon. They're pretty much looking for a warehouse or a distribution center that they can now locate here. I don't think that was the case when it first all started, though. I think you would have had, you know, a facility right here in Redding if it would have transpired where you had been making chips and you'd been making those items that he makes right here in Redding. Since then, it seems like he's moved on, but he is looking for a distribution center here in the area.
Okay.
Cool. Okay, let's go to the Anderson Outlets now. I mean, that just seems to be, it's just five, it's prime. Yes, we miss Polo, but it just, what do you have a vision for that? For that area right there?
My vision personally?
Yeah.
It doesn't seem to be, you know, I don't know that it's their interest. To continue to put shops in there. That's the way I see it anyway. Mm-hmm. I can't say it for anybody else, but they don't seem to be going after a lot of business in that area.
And why?
I could go back three years and be talking to Costco, that's where Costco would go.
Mm.
Move the theater a little further away.
Well, they need to completely redo how they advertise stuff anyway on that so people see it, but that's an interesting point you just made. You don't think they're going out after businesses? Do you think they're trying to sell this place or shut it down?
I don't see it that way either, necessarily.
Oh, okay.
From a business standpoint, and that's my background, right. I see it as a tax write-off. They have other facilities, both north and south, that seem to be doing really, really well, and this is not their focus.
So they just use this as a tax write-off?
That's the way I see it.
Huh. Well, it just seems like it's just very stale. Can I just say that word? I know that I drive in there and I hit a couple now and then, a couple of the outlets. But it just seems that there's no energy.
And how do we get them motivated as a city?
I don't know.
We continue to talk to them, or do we continue to build around them and make other areas around us better so that
it might bring them up?
Correct.
A rising tide floats all boats.
Absolutely. If it wasn't for the cinemas and Mary's Pizza Shack. That's what seems to be.
And
Boot
then
Barn.
Also,
Boot Barn.
Boot Barn.
Well, the Veterans Walk is in there. It's right around that area, correct?
It's downtown.
Okay, then we've gone to fundraisers. That's what's happening there. We've gone to fundraisers in the
But
in,
as you
in
build
the
up the city around them and they get better, it forces them to get better or sell.
That's the way I look at it, is that, you know, if other people are successful there, then they've got to raise the they've got to raise their bar, too. We've got like about 3 minutes left. Baron, why should people vote for you?
You know, from my business background, I think that economic growth and development, less taxes. If you start bringing businesses in, they then create jobs. Those jobs then create economic growth for those individuals where they're buying houses. They're spending money in our city buying groceries. There's sales tax revenue coming in from other areas, not only the business but other things. That are going on. You get growth in the housing, and those things just keep stimulating our economy in the city of Anderson. And you don't have to keep going after the taxpayers for the increase on sewer and water and police and
just pay for it out of sales tax.
That's correct.
What business would you pursue if you were on the city council saying, hey, look, guys, we got to go after some of these. We have to go out and
actually, I've done a lot of looking, and I've actually talked to him a few times, but Chris Foxworthy. I think he has a great vision, and I would love to continue to talk to him and put him in that area where he has the possibility of bringing other like businesses down to our area.
Okay. Oh. Chris Foxworthy, and who is in the movie business.
Correct.
Foxworthy. Okay. All right.
But I think it's our job as city council
to
reach out to all businesses.
You need to look at everything.
That's right.
And you know what? And if sometimes it's off the wall, not off the wall. I don't say that's off the wall because Foxworthy came up here, you know, has come up here several times, and he's looking for a place up here. So maybe that could be the spot. It's out from underneath the airlines and all that. So anyway, Baron Browning has been our guest. He is running for Anderson City Council. A lot of energy here and a lot of enthusiasm and forward-looking thinking.
I love my city. And I love the potential that we have in our city for growth. The inner city stays the same, but the outer city starts developing. And that brings in so much for us. And I am Baron Browning. I am running for Anderson City Council. And I hope to get your vote November 4th.
And how do they get a hold of Baron Browning?
Baron Browning for Anderson City Council on Facebook.
Okay. And they can give.
And this clip will be on there today.
Well, it should be. You did a good job.
Thank you.
Right. Hey, look,
well, listen, thanks for running. We always love it when we see people who just like put their money where their mouth is, you know, put their stuff on the line. Like it.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Now, hey, look.
Mike Quinn's coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. We've had everybody that's running for Reading City Council. We do have others next week right up until November 4th.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by Crown Motors. Now, this is what Crown Motors is going to do from this week and all of next week through the 11th of November. At Crown Motors, they have their salute to the veterans at Crown Motors. 10% off all parts and labor from, you know, like I said, from October 27th, which has already passed, through November 11th. And on the 10th and the 11th of November, Linda and I will be there. On the 10th, of course, is the Marine Corps birthday. And we'll be interviewing Marines from all battles and wars from World War II up. And on November 11th, we'll be at Crown Motors also.
interviewing some of our World War II veterans, and from every war we fought, all services on the 11th, all at Crown Motors. And during these 2 days, 10th and 11th, for every car sold, they will donate $100 to two local veterans organizations, Welcome Home and the Military Order of the Purple Heart.
Excellent.
So head on down there. Head on down there. If you need that oil change, you need something done, head on down to Crown Motors. Have it done there. And if you're a veteran, just bring proof of service, and they will do that. And then they will, and we can make some money for our local veterans organizations on the 10th and 11th. We'll be right back after these.
And don't forget, tomorrow night is Anderson Explodes at Fusaro Hall. The dinner, it's a steak and shrimp dinner, $25. Doors open at 5:30 at Fusaro Hall. Thank you.
Thank
okay.
You.
All right. We'll be right back with Mike Quinn.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. The man who was the target of a nearly seven-week manhunt until his capture yesterday will remain behind bars without bail after an initial court appearance this morning in Pennsylvania by County District Attorney Raymond Tonkin.
We have charged Mr. Freeing with murder in the first degree, homicide of a law enforcement officer.
Eric Freeing appeared gaunt and battered in court. He is charged in an ambush shooting that killed one state trooper and wounded another. Prosecutors say they'll seek the death penalty. Former Florida Governor Jeb Bush on the campaign trail yesterday in Colorado, stumping for U.S. Senate candidate Cory Gardner, who, Bush says, knows how to create jobs.
The only way that we do that is to create a climate of high sustained economic growth where everybody in this country has a chance at earned success. And that's why Cory Gardner needs to be elected to the United States Senate.
President Obama, meanwhile, not in high demand by Democrat candidates, but he did hit the campaign trail yesterday in Portland, Maine.
It's a choice about your vision for America. It boils down to the simple question, who's on your side? Who's expressing the values you care about? Who's going to fight for your future?
The president headlining a rally in Portland for Mike Mishu. Average gas prices set to drop below $3 a gallon for the first time in 4 years. AAA's Michael Green.
In 10% of U.S. stations, we actually see gas prices below $2.75 today, and those are real savings that we haven't seen in quite some time.
But this driver in Elizabeth, New Jersey, still finds something to be worried about, the mysterious nature of gas prices.
I'm a little confused. Every time the prices go up, they talk about how bad it is in the Middle East. Has it ever been worse? And they're going down. Confusing.
Well, AAA credits the lower prices to lower crude oil prices on the international markets. On Wall Street right now, the Dow's booming up about 200 points. This is SRN News.
You have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? With Visiting Angels, America's Choice in Senior Home Care, your parents and older family members can continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates. To restore your family's peace of mind, call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE or at visitingangels.com.
Did you know up to 1 in 5 Americans will get the flu this year because less than half of us get vaccinated? You didn't know? That's okay. We do. Rite Aid has certified immunizing pharmacists at the ready to discuss your risks, answer your questions, and shield you from what you don't know. So get your flu shot, no appointment necessary, at Rite Aid today. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacists for details.
Nissan says it's recalling more than 1,800 Infiniti SUVs in this country for an airbag problem.
It's the same problem that has caused some other car makers to issue a recall. Inflated airbags could send metal shards into passenger compartments. The Nissan recall covers the QX56 SUVs from 2013 and the QX80s from 2014. The company says inflators made by Takata Corporation were built with a faulty outer baffle. When pressure builds up, inflators can rupture when those airbags are deployed, dispersing the metal fragments. Takata says the recall is separate from another one affecting 8 million vehicles in the U.S. Linda Kenyon, SRN News.
Quarterback Drew Brees overcame a shaky start and threw for one touchdown, ran for another last night as his team beat Carolina. Two touchdowns came in the final 3 minutes of the first half.
Anytime you can score in a two-minute situation, especially the end of half, you just have all that momentum going in at halftime.
That's quarterback Drew Brees, and this is SRN News. The bodies of three U.S. citizens from Texas who were visiting their father in a Mexican border state have been identified by their father. More on the tragic developments from SRN's James Bleer.
Pedro Alvarado identified the bodies of his sons Alejandro, Jose, Angel, and his daughter Erica from tattoos and from clothing they were wearing when they disappeared on October the 13th in the town of Control. A fourth body is thought to be Erica's boyfriend. Each had a gunshot to the head. According to witnesses, Erica and her boyfriend were being attacked by a group of men. Her brothers intervened but were also set upon. Uniformed armed men who took them away identified themselves as the Hercules Police Protection Group, which bodyguards the mayor of Matamoros.
That's SRN's James Bleers in Mexico City. San Francisco Giants fans already grabbing prime viewing spots for the team's victory parade through downtown. Police estimate up to 2 million people could turn out to cheer the World Series champions despite what is forecast to be a rainy day. More details at SRNNews.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew.
The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning.
Good morning.
Halloween. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. And we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Savannah's got her little costume on this morning. A hat. That's her costume. It's
and
a hat.
Green headphones.
And green headphones.
She's lime.
Like, just a little
green.
Bit like Shrek.
Screaming green. Yeah,
screaming
totally.
Green there.
At least you didn't bring the smell in with you.
You know what? Here's the thing with the hat. When you're, and it's a KCNR 1460 hat, which you've just started getting. For your costume, you turn it around backwards. You know, so it's on, you know.
Totally.
Totally. That's the
currently 56 degrees in the downtown studios. We have 90% chance of rain right now. It's lovely to see it wet outside. High of 60 today. Showers likely tonight with temperatures around 49. Again, raining. Saturday looks like we have around 59. Partly cloudy on Saturday night with 44. And then Sunday the sun comes back out. Mostly sunny is what the National Weather Service is calling for with our highs around 65. Partly cloudy Sunday night with temperatures around 47. Now the weather is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Always, our customers are warm friends where they're locally owned and operated, where they give senior and veteran discounts, 365-3793. Okay, so.
Yes.
Yes, I've had like 2 weeks now of funky eyes, but it's been wonderful to be able to sleep. I don't know what's going on with my eyes. I've had like different diagnoses, and the last doctor said that I just have a cold in my eyes, a virus in my eyes. It's just been weird because they just have been like weeping. But I'm sleeping, and that's because of my Sleep Number bed and our Sleep Number bed. Because of dual temp control, you can change what your numbers are.
The dual air technology we have there, my Sleep Number setting is, last night it was 45.
Yeah.
And your Sleep Number setting is
45 as well.
45 as well. Now, here's the thing about Sleep Number beds is it's rated number one by Consumer Reports, made in the United States. They're guaranteed. Plus, you sleep really good. And now with the new Sleep IQ technology that senses, and the new beds, the new Sleep Number beds, if you're moving around, it will sense this and will send you a message on an app and says, you know, you may want to try these different settings. Because Sleep Number wants you to sleep well. You can't buy a good night's sleep, you know, people could say, because there are all these things. Well, I can tell you what, you can really help by buying a C2 Queen mattress right now for $999.98. Again, this is rated number one by Consumer Reports. It's a good night's sleep for the next 20 years with your dual air technology. You with one side and your partner with another. It's great. Where can you get them? Head down to Target Shopping Center. Go down and see our Sleep Number reps at Brian and Janice at our Sleep Number store right there in the Target Shopping Center. Today, as we go along with our, as we continue on with our series of talking to the candidates for City Council for Reading and for Anderson, for our Reading City Council, today is Mike Quinn. Mike, good morning.
You're going to wake me up now? Your ad just put me to sleep.
Well, it should, you know, because I feel very relaxed when I'm saying it. And you know,
you started this whole thing.
You started this. Yeah, that's right. You started it. So you know what? You live by the sword, die by the sword here, Quinn.
Right.
All right. Hey, Mike Quinn is running for Reading City Council. Mike, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm a veteran, and I'm also a veteran of commissions here in the city. Born on the East Coast, raised in the Midwest, made it out to California, and was released here from the Air Force, and came up to Reading and said, this is a great place. Thought so then, think so now. Wow. And it's time to move off the commission level and into the city council level, and that's the reason that I'm running.
You're on the REU commission, right?
Yep.
Is REU, is that going to be one of the things you're going to be looking at if elected?
Yes. There's a lot of things that we've got to be careful of there.
Well, you know, I start off usually with all the measures. Measure A, your vote on Measure A about the on the marijuana growth in the county.
I don't think it's a perfect law, but I am not for the just let it grow anywhere. I think that brings a lot of problems to the area. That helps with your crime, and as long as there's that atmosphere out there, and there are people who need the medical marijuana, but it's the people who abuse the system that are going to cause it, you know, to be ruined. So I am not for the grows. I am, you know, for the measures that the county wants to put in.
So yes on A.
Yes.
All right. On B, the sale of land to and we've got a couple minutes here because this is going to, you know, this gets even more interesting. What is it? What was it in Alice in the Looking Glass? When you were talking about the things that are going on, this gets more interesting and more interesting every minute. Something like
Alice in the Looking Glass?
Yeah, like Alice in Wonderland. That's what it was originally called, Alice in the Looking Glass. But they say, this gets, I want to say weirder, but it's not. It gets more interesting and more interesting every minute. Okay, on B, what's your stance on B here, Mike?
Well, the stance on B is, number one, whoever's elected to the city council is going to inherit the vote, and then you're going to inherit another round of the fight. Or can we get to the point where at that point everybody sits down and actually acts like adults and quits throwing sand at each other and solves this problem? It's the hotel, it's not necessary to sell the land to build the hotel. So it should have been built 2 years ago. All of the prevailing wage and all those other issues would have gone away because they would have made enough profit to cover that. And I mean, I can go through all the numbers side of it. This never should have happened. And why it did and why the city got involved at the level that they did was wrong. As soon as they realized there was a problem, they should have told the two parties to go back and solve it and then bring it to us. We're not going to spend $400,000 in legal fees through the city in something that's not really their fight. So it's very, very interesting. You know, when we came out with another bid now, the land wasn't put up for bid. That's true, but it's late in the game to bring that forward. This is on the ballot.
Do you think that Alan Shuffelberger brought it up to just – to cloud the issue, or like Bruce Middleton says that, hey, you know, what time would be good? So,
you know what he can do that. It's a perfectly free system. Why shouldn't he be allowed to make that? You know, I mean, there's not anything that the city council can do because this is already on. They can't just say, okay, well, we're not going to vote on it this time. We're going to change it because of this. But anybody can, you know, bring it forward. That's up to him. And I think that if it was offered to him, he would pay $1 million for it. I don't think that he's just throwing a number out there. So, you know, I mean,
Alan Shuffelberger has never been accused of being a bad businessman.
Right.
He's a very astute guy.
So, you know, it just brings another, again, we're going to inherit the vote. Whoever's sworn in there in December.
So what are you yes or no then on B?
I'm no on B.
Okay, no on B. All right. Well, that's kind of what, you know, I know you've looked at all the numbers, too. I mean,
right.
you are an accountant, and I know that you and we're going to get into that in a little bit. On Measure F, raising of the tax, of the 0.025 sales tax.
Against.
Why?
Because, number one, it's 6 years. What if it isn't working? You're stuck with it, right?
I think that they said that the city council could end it.
Okay. Well, then – why get into something like this? First of all, let's go in and when they brought it up, there was no budget. There was no reasoning or anything like this. They just said, let's do it. Fortunately, when they came to the 5-0 vote, they cut it from the half to the 0.25%. That takes money out of your community. It's $5 million a year that's going to come out of the community. That circulates 2.5 times. So $12 million comes out of our community. And are we sure that we don't have the money? Well, 10 minutes before they asked for that tax originally, they gave raises to the upper management at the city. So they had money for that. Now, so you can't tell me that they don't have the money for here. The other thing that they didn't do was when they sent the 30 jobs out of here for the call center that went to the Midwest, they had these people that they were going to find jobs for. Do you not, one of those people went over to the police department? Why didn't they take some of those people who were finding jobs for? Because no one was going to get laid off. We sent money out of the community, but we didn't save any money. Why didn't some of them go in and become, you know, CSOs? They're used to taking phone calls. They're already vetted by the city. They're already employees. That could have immediately helped alleviate some of the police problems. So, and there is money in the reserves. There's money there. So,
but there's a big argument on that.
And you know what? If we go along, and this is a good test, two years, we can put it. It can be put back on the ballot. And if it doesn't fail, if the attempt to go in there and work it through the budget and all that fails 2 years, you can go back and put it on, and then people will vote for it. But they didn't even try the other side of it. So that's all we have to do is get through. And the good news is, you don't need $5 million today. If they've said we need it today, that's a different thing. We may not have $5 million today, but you know that's over a period of time because it's going to take a while to hire all the CSOs and all the officers. So that money will be over a period of time. So the first year, it won't even be $5 million. So it's very, very important to look at that on the numbers.
All right, we're going to take a break. Our guest is Mike Quinn, who is running for Redding City Council. Remember, November 4th is the date. If you haven't voted before that through, you know, mail, please go in person and vote on November 4th. Come back for this entire hour. We have Mike Quinn. We'll be right back. KCNR 1460.
Hello, I'm Patrick Jones. And it's unfortunate that the Redding Peace Officers Association does not value volunteers in policing. Most cities in America do. In fact, I think it's one of Redding's strongest attributes. Quality people is what Redding is all about. And while the chief and I have had some early scheduling conflicts, I can assure you we are meeting weekly. So I hope you join me this November 4th and vote Patrick Jones for Redding City Council, paid for by the Committee to Elect Patrick Jones 2014.
Shasta County supervisors tried to pass a ban on outdoor medical marijuana cultivation. This new proposed law will be on the November 4th ballot, and it's called Measure A. Measure A will force all patients to store their marijuana in a specifically designed and permitted detached accessory structure, costing the patient over $12,000 to build. Without this building, Measure A will make both the outdoor cultivation and storage of medical marijuana a misdemeanor charge for thousands of otherwise legal patients in Shasta County. Vote no on Measure A. With Measure A, the county and or sheriff's department could inspect your property without a warrant, solely on the merit of suspicion of cultivation. Measure A is a violation of constitutional rights. Vote no on Measure A. Protect your rights and register to vote before October 20th, then show up to the polls to vote. Vote no on Measure A. This ad was paid for by the Shasta County Citizens No on Measure A Ballot Committee.
Hi, this is Patrick Wallner from Wallner Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, your Barefoot Plumber. Let's talk about water conservation for a moment. With an abundance of lakes, rivers, streams, and creeks, we sometimes forget that we are still in a severe drought. Public and private water districts are now asking for voluntary reduction in water usage, with some districts even charging their customers extremely high prices for using more water than they have historically used over the past few years. Give us a call at 223-5622 or look us up online at wallnerplumbing.com to discuss your water usage and simple ways to help conserve this precious resource.
I'm Francie Sullivan, Vice Mayor of the City of Redding. I have deep roots in this area. I was born and raised in the Bitterroot Valley of Montana, but I've had family here since before Lassen erupted. My husband is retired and we could live anywhere. We choose to live in Redding. We love living in a friendly, generous town. We're grateful for the parks and trails that help keep us healthy, and we're grateful to live in a community that knows how to come together to solve problems. Together, we'll make Redding a safer town. I want to invite you, the public, to become part of the process, made up of all of you, the City Council, and city employees, to make Redding thrive and be the best place to live, work, and raise a family, with safe neighborhoods and quality jobs. I'm Francie Sullivan. I'd appreciate your vote on November 4th for the Redding City Council. Paid for by the Committee to Elect Sullivan for City Council 2014.
We built this city on
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It's Halloween. Okay, I should take my mask off. I'm going to go up and down the street here with my mask on, seeing if I can. I'm going to stop over at the bars with a little mug in my
hand. Okay, so I drove up to the coffee guy this morning, and he had on this shirt, you know, one of those shirts that looks like it's spray painted, you know, the illusion. And it was cut down on the front, like the hair chest. And I thought for a minute, whoa. And then he turned around, and it had like butt crack, plumber butt crack. And it was this, you know, like he had the tool belt on, and it was all spray painted, and it looked so real. He said, I got this shirt. And I just cracked up because, you know, those things are really awesome.
Okay, this portion, I don't even know how to follow that. I'm not even going to follow it with this ad because I'm not going to do that to the people following that
one. You're talking about Wind River. Okay, November 6th. What?
Okay, November 6th, you're going to be
okay, we're out of Wind River. Come and see us. We are doing a cabaret night. We're turning the Wind River Elements Lounge into, it's called Romance on the River. Candlelight, tablecloths, wonderful menu, from filet mignon to like shrimp. Really, everybody's wonderful food. Specialty cocktails, no cover charge. Lady Bott and the Bluebirds will be there performing from 7 to 9 with great jazz standards. You can dance. And it's a throwback to what great lounge era music used to be. So come and see us November 6th. Make your reservations by calling, let's find that number.
It's by calling Wind River at 243-3377 and asking for Elements Lounge.
It's November 6th. So we're getting close to just a few seats left.
Okay, when people say, hey, how come you play ads when other people are on? You know, other political ads. Well, you know, Mike understands this because
people bought certain times and they gave you the money, so let them play.
That's right. And so, we're, you know, of course, we're sold out here all the time anyway, but when they buy during the show, it's because there's reasons for that. And so, I've had people complain about, oh, you know, so and so was on the air when they played so and so's ad. And I said, you know what? You can't avoid it anymore. Anyway, Mike, what's your first priority? What's your priority for if you're elected to city council? What's your highest priority?
You know, for the longest time in going through the 20 forums and debates that we had, it was always crime, crime, crime. And I grew up in a very crime-ridden area. I mean, it was the worst crime. It was inner city. It was as bad as you can get. And I was believing that for a while. And then after going through and listening to everybody talking about all the subjects, I changed my mind. The number one priority is bringing the city together. We are shredding ourselves right now. We are tearing each other apart over all the different subjects that are going on. And that has got to stop. We can solve these problems if everybody sits down and gives other people the decency of having a different opinion and sits down and negotiates and does this right. We have got to bring this city together. We were always this way, and all of a sudden it seems that this time with the Measure A and the Measure F and the Measure B and all this stuff, it's just tearing us apart. And it's got to stop. So that number one priority is let's get all in the same track.
Okay. You know what, and I can't help but agree with that in the sense of is we do. I've seen things here in this town this isn't the town that we moved into, and this is just 7 years ago, that, you know, part of it is AB 109 and all this other stuff that, you know, that we need to get together on. But this has been a very divisive campaign, and I see people that I know doing things that are just – you would never guess they would do those things. And saying things or publishing things, I'm like – wow. I mean,
I have people who won't speak to me anymore because I go one way on a measure or not on a measure. And you know what? What's this about, folks? You know, I respect them and I respect their opinion, and we've all got to come to that. And it's got to be a genuine respect for
people. Well, you know what? This is one of the reasons that, you know, we accept, you know, so how could you accept that, you know, those, you know, that advertising? I'll tell you why. They're a part of our town, too. And they've got a strong belief, you know, and, you know, every one of these, I respect every one of the people running for city council. And because they've got a strong belief in doing something good for Reading, but you're right, we have to get together. All right, so now now that you're on the city council, and okay, you have kumbayad, where are you going to go then?
Well, the crime then becomes, you know, is going to rise to the top there, and we get everybody on the page, and we go to the chief and we say, okay, chief, what is it that you need? What's your plan? What's your timeline? What do we need to do? Because they are the experts. They've been to schools on this. You know, all the police department's been trained out there. they know what to do. And he came from an area that's, you know, a very tough area. You know, the Stockton area was not, you know, Beverly Hills. And he's used to this, and he should know what to do, and we should get him out of being a politician and saying, okay, what do you need to police the streets? And, you know, leave it up to him. I you know, I've talked to him a lot of times, not weekly, but, I've, you know, I spoke to him and sat in his office. And he's got, you know, let's get him out of the politician mode and into the police mode. And let's let the police department do it.
I think that we need to do is get him out of the middle of this crap.
Right.
And I have to say, as the media does this, has done a good job of this, but other groups too, unions and everything. Paletti knows how to do his job. You just, you know what, we have to give him the resources just like you would any type of any other organization or operation. One of the things that, you know, okay, public safety. What about infrastructure? Where does that fall?
Infrastructure would come after jobs, and maybe there's a couple other things in between, but let's get some jobs up here. Let's get some real jobs because we're losing jobs here, and there's going to be a big drive here to save those 50 jobs at the post office, and those are 50 good-paying jobs. Those are 50 jobs that will support a household.
Yeah.
And, yes, the community needs to stand up because not only does it hurt those 50 people, it also is going to hurt our community because now it's going to take longer for our mail to get across, so our checks are going to come in later. There's all kinds of things that are going to, you know, happen. And so we need to stand there. Now, there's a chance to retain. And I've said it's not only recruit, but once people are here, you've got to retain them. So we are going to have a community-wide effort, and I don't see anybody standing up and saying no to this. Let's retain those jobs over there. And then let's go to all the businesses. You know, there's another business that announced last week that they're going to be leaving. Well, let's go find out. Can we retain them? What is it going to take? What is the reason that they're going to leave? Can it be salvaged? The retention is just as important as recruitment because once you get them here, you don't ignore them. You meet with them every so often, and I know REU meets with their big electric users. They have a group of people that come in and talk. This is what needs to be done on a basis for economics. You know, how's your business doing?
It's easier to keep a business than it is to acquire a business.
It's
customer.
It's just as hard to keep them because you tend to do all the recruiting, and then you don't have a team that's going around and saying, okay, guys, what's the issues that are coming up? How, you know, and then bring it out because maybe somebody can solve it up here. You get to the point where all of a sudden you get surprised when somebody says, oh, we're leaving. And you have some natural ones that happened when North Valley Bank and Tri-Counties Bank merged. There were some branches that are going to shut down, and Reading got hit the hardest on that. Office Depot, Office Max, they ended up closing when they merged. So there's things that you can't help. But there are things that we can do and make sure everybody else, you know, what's their issues?
Well, that leads to this other thing. Anderson, Baron Browning, who is running for Anderson City Council, was just on, as you know. One of the things he said is that in Anderson, the fees are a lot lower than Reading. And two, from the time they put the permit in to the time they're breaking ground is a year or less. We don't have that. We can't say that here in Reading, can we?
Sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. When they want it to happen, it happens. Look at the police building, how quickly when they wanted something to happen, it got up. Where's Oasis? You know, where's these other things that are going on? That's when we talk about a lot of jobs. There's one right there. And I know there's issues. There's county issues and there's state issues and things like this. But somebody should have seen the value of putting that on the I-5 and look at all the construction jobs that will be there because it's not just Costco. When Costco goes in, they'll be lined up there, you know, to fill that and be along the freeway. And then you create the jobs that are going to stay here.
So you would support pushing forward as fast as you can on the Costco build at Oasis Road?
Yes. And, you know, make sure that all the T's are crossed and I's are dotted. But, you know, and it's done right. But, yes, we need to put a team on there and get that going. That's the most jobs that I can see happening. And it's, guess what, sales tax, because you're going to pull people off the freeway, and they're going to stop there at that Costco when they see it. And we're going to get sales tax money off of that.
Okay, I want to take an early break here. Our guest is Mike Quinn, running for Reading City Council. When we come back, Mike, I want to talk a little bit about the permits. And getting permits here in businesses in Reading. I also want to talk about the idea of privatization at the City Hall and a couple other things. Well, we'll be right back after these messages. Carl and the Bot, KCNR 1460. It's Halloween. Remember that it's raining. It's Halloween. It's going to be dark tonight. And little kids don't always have the greatest awareness of what's going on. So be very, very, very careful out there. There could be some children out there that are going trick-or-treating, and they don't think about it and go out in the street. So give yourself plenty of time to slow down, drive slow. It's Halloween. Let's have a safe Halloween. We'll be right back.
Hi, my name's Brent Weaver. I promise to fight to keep our neighborhood safe and strong. Vote for me, Brent Weaver. Together, we will take back our city, streets, parks, and neighborhoods.
Paid for by Weaver for City Council 2014.
While serving in Iraq, Sergeant Jason Nielsen suffered a paralyzing injury. Paralyzed Veterans of America's service officers are trained to help injured veterans get all the benefits they've earned. To help paralyzed veterans, visit pva.org.
Are you tired of the rising city crime rate due to our ever-increasing transient at AB 109 population? A yes vote on Measure F would send a clear and simple message to criminals. You will serve your time. Shasta County has had its AB 109 budget cut and a limit placed on the number of felons that can be returned to prison. If the limit of criminals returned to prison is exceeded, further budget cuts will occur, allowing more felons to roam our streets to commit more crimes. Monies generated by Measure F will be used for support personnel and to send criminals convicted in Shasta County to other counties, freeing up our jail to keep convicted criminals in and not being released to commit further crimes. 75% of the budget would be used to purchase 37,000 days of incarceration in other counties. Measure F will provide an ongoing revenue stream to get the AB 109ers and transients under control. Vote yes on Measure F, and let's get them out of town. Paid for by the Committee for Yes on Measure F.
Hi, my name is Kristen Schrader. I was born and raised here in Reading. I went to local schools and raised a family with my husband, Jack. I'm running for City Council because I have the skills and experience to collaborate and work with other council members to find effective solutions. I'll make sure our city is safe and maintain our infrastructure. As a business owner and elected school trustee for the past 16 years, I know how to make tough choices and balance budgets. On November 4th, vote for me, Kristen Schrader. I'll get things done. Paid for by Kristen Schrader for City Council 2014.
Northern California Event Services can help you plan your wedding or next special event. From caterers to photographers, DJs to hair and makeup, Northern California Event Services has your event needs covered, and you can see for yourself at ncescanhelp.com. And check out featured vendors like Glam Squad Elite, a mobile hair and makeup team that will glam you up wherever you need us to be. Check them out and many more at ncescanhelp.com.
Hi, my name's Brent Weaver. Reading needs a strategic plan to fight crime. We need new ideas, positive energy, and a fresh perspective at City Hall. Vote for me, Brent Weaver, on November 4th.
Paid for by Weaver for City Council 2014.
Captain Eric Lawrence needed help after a paralyzing injury in Afghanistan.
PVA helped me write my resume, got me a job interview. I got the job.
To learn more, visit pva.org. A public service message from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and DeBott. It's October the 31st. It's Halloween. 56 degrees out there. Rain today and tonight and tomorrow. It looks like we're going to have some rain on Saturday. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, right off Athens Avenue across from Subway. DC Tim and Logan give great, great haircuts there and discounts for seniors and veterans. It's the cheers of barbershops. Can I say that? Yes. And it's man's last stronghold. You'll see it right on the window. Man's last stronghold. Can't say enough about the place. Cypress Square Barbershop. Our guest today is Mike Quinn, who is running for Reading City Council. Must be for the salary. You know, why would people put themselves through the abuse that you and the others have been put through?
Because we believe, and you have six people who honestly believe.
That's true.
And that's what you can say right now. Everybody says that the race is a toss-up. I don't think so. I think I'm ahead, but that's I have to say that here, and I want everybody to run with the winner. But no, it's six people who really have done their homework. The debates have really gotten better as people have gotten into the subjects.
I tell you what, listening to all of y'all from the beginning to now, everybody has really stepped their pace up. And I tell you what, and at other offices too, because frankly, Heidi Hall, and I'll say this, Heidi Hall, from the first time she was on to the last time she was on, she could answer questions. She learned to dodge. She actually knew some of the issues, most of the issues then too. Okay, unfunded liabilities. I've got two questions on this right away. $300 million unfunded liabilities, Mike Quinn. What do you plan on doing about this?
Good news is that the unfunded liabilities aren't due tomorrow. They are going to be due over a period of time, so you have to figure out how much it is you put in there. The sooner you start paying into it, the sooner you start earning on what you pay in. And that's where the county was really smart. They started paying into unfunded liabilities years ago.
Right.
Their money's been compounding in there, which alleviates part of the problem. We didn't do that. So we're going to be stuck with, you know, some pretty horrendous numbers. But number one, know what they are, know when they've got to go in, and plan for it and budget for it.
Well, we're paying 75 cents of every – I think 75 cents of every dollar is going into health care and retirement.
Well, Carl, that's kind of a misnomer on that, because it's going to when you've got a government. Government doesn't have a cost of sales or anything like that or certain things. So your number one thing in government is going to be people.
Okay. Well, then what happens when the state comes down, which they have, and they want more money? How do we combat that? How do we make sure is that 78 cents or 80 cents out of every dollar, what do we cut out then?
Well, we've got to go through the budgets, and we have to look and see, you know, where everything is. You've got to go through your numbers. You have to recognize what your revenues are going to be. The city has got to, you know, by holding back businesses and by holding back people who've wanted to put their permits in, they've cut their own throat because they've not allowed the sales taxes and the property taxes to increase, which is going to help this budget issue. There's a major number that people are not looking at, and that is the property tax and how it's collected. Now, the property tax peaked in at the end of 2009 at $34 million. In the middle of the recession, of the worst time, that's when we got the most property tax because of the way we collect it. We're back down to $19 million here at the end of 2013.
What was it in 39?
At the end of 2009, it was $34 million. Now it's $19 million.
So that's because they dropped the value of all the houses, all right?
No, because they collected that. They do a non-teetered collection, which means they collect when the county gets it. There's two ways to do it. Teetered is when we get the money when the county is owed it. Non-teetered is we get it when the county collects it. Well, with all those foreclosures were going through, and they were catching them up when a foreclosure sold, all the property tax got caught up. We peaked in 2009. Now we're back to where we were at 2005 levels, which was the height of everything. So where's all that money?
Where is it?
Where's the money?
Where is it?
And now we're not able
– Wait a minute. Where's the money?
And we got used to spending it, then we don't have it anymore. And so
– How do you fix that?
How do you fix that? Number one, you recognize the problem. You go through, and that's where history really is important to look, especially with the numbers. What happened? It's gone. It's been collected. So where are we at right now? Well, we're at 19, and we got used to spending at a $34 million level during the worst times. We've got some cash flow issues, and if you don't recognize those and you don't sit down and see the trends and see whether you're going up or you're going down with your numbers, you don't know where to start. So, yes, we have to get to those unfunded liabilities. We have to start paying it in so it starts compounding as quickly as possible, and that alleviates part of the problem. The city's behind the eight ball on that.
Okay, Mike, we talk about the permitting process. And one of the things that, about when they did not a waiver on the fees back a couple years ago, but they reduced them.
Right.
People on other candidates and also the city says, hey, look, we lost $1.3 million by reducing those fees. And your answer to that is?
No, you didn't. And as an accountant, I would say that that's a very, very bad way of looking at it, because you wouldn't have had the money to begin with. If those permits had not been taken out, you're assuming that those people would have paid the full permit, in order to get things going. Maybe it was over a period of time they would have done that, but we got that money in when we needed it. We proved that works. And so you didn't lose anything. People bought because the price went down. It's like going on a sale at the store. You know, Linda can tell you this. You know, she goes into a store and you buy something and you say, okay, it's on sale, therefore I will buy it. If it wasn't on sale, you would have walked past it. Did we lose money? We did not.
Okay, because you can't lose something you don't have.
That's right.
Okay,
now, let's
that's
talk
a good
about,
point. I hadn't thought of that like that until we, you know, you and I were talking about it.
And that's what comes from years of budgeting and years of looking at numbers constantly. Now, let's talk about something else that we can do to lower the fees. And that is, if you as you drive through neighborhoods, you'll find these lots that are just bare. Now, they're all over the place. The whole subdivision, and you got two lots in there. Why don't we reduce those fees down to $10,000? And get the house.
It's $30,000, from what I understand, for a house of average size here in Redding. $30,000 in permits and all that.
I had a lot, and mine was 40, and it was a 2,000-square-foot house with a three-car garage, so it's 40,000. Okay, that lot is not going to take any more sewer, any more electric. Nothing else has to be done. No more, you know, street or studies that have to be done, because the neighborhood's already there. All they have to do is hook up into the current sewer and current electricity. So you've avoided all of that. Get those lots sold. Get people put back to work. Get your sales tax and get those lots up to a property tax value where we start building that property tax. And the only way to do it right now is to build out there. And that program did work. We should look very carefully. If you've got a brand new neighborhood and you're out somewhere and you have to run a whole sewer line out, yes, there's going to be some extra money for that. And you have to be careful of that. But not everybody should pay all of that.
What they're saying is, the way they explain it is if you, if you're putting up a new, subdivision, then you should pay for all the costs and all that. And what the explanation, from Bill from the city is that we also have the cost of, as things expand, we have to expand services, in this case, you know, like just say the water treatment plant. And it takes money to do that. And if we put in a bunch of new houses without paying for that, you know, for that water sewage system, is eventually you're going to have to buy it. You're going to have to pay for it. So how do you do it then?
Well, you've got your water bill every month. I mean, that's where you're going to get some of that money. You have to look at that. Yes, that's going to pay part of it. So you don't get yourself into debt to where you're paying debt service. But that money is now going to increase. You're going to get more electricity that's going to be sold. You're going to get more water usage, whether it's usage or the wastewater that's being treated out. You get two things on your bill for water. Now you've got a chance to get more volume. And volume overcomes all evils when it comes to money. And it comes to business. Lower your price. In tough times, a good business will lower their price and raise the amount of sales that they're selling. And that's how the government's got to look at it, too. And they don't look at it that way.
Well, would you say then you're going to go down and take a look at all the permitting in this and push for a reduction in permits?
I would go down there and remember, what can the city council do? We can do two things. We can tell the city manager what to do and the city attorney what to do. So we set the tone down there and we say, okay, what is the permits and why? How come it costs more for a permit to put a new water heater in than it costs for the water heater? What are some of those things? What are the things that stop people? If somebody wants to expand a business, let's say they want to put an addition onto their house or an addition onto their business and make it bigger, is that really going to affect the traffic on the streets and the electricity and all this? No, that infrastructure. We need to get to where people can breathe, and they want to build. I know tons of people that want to build and expand, but they say, I'm not going to.
Down here on the corner here, when they built, you know, they built this restaurant down here and all this, is that I understand it was a $200,000 traffic study on an existing building and existing, everything was here. $200,000.
Come on. You were at the busiest intersection in town, Shasta and Market,
right
here. I was here since, 96? And that was an empty lot.
Right.
And the traffic was still just as thick right now.
$200,000. I mean, I was just appalled to hear that.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's got to be realistic. We've got to come back to realism when it comes to those fees.
Okay, well, that leads us into the only two people that you all control is the city manager and the city attorney.
Right, so we set the direction for them. We set the direction.
Are you going to hold their feet to the fire?
Yes.
Okay. We have, when the they voted to move all the public comment to the end of the session during City Hall meetings.
Right.
This is a lot of contention, a big bone of contention here. Even though I think they said that it was going to be would expire after the election, I'm not sure. But how do you feel about that?
Well, and the reason that they did it was because some people were getting up there and acting abusive toward people, and so they wanted to stop that. And very simply, you can move it back to the front and let people have their time to speak. But if they get out of line or if there's something that they're doing, you set a set of rules. And you know, if somebody is abusive to those rules, then you deny them their opportunity.
Well, why can't you have a buzzer? What's wrong with the buzzer, just like anything else, after a minute?
Well, no, they shut them down. I mean, that's not an issue.
Right.
You have lights in front of you, and you know when your time's up.
Well, lights are one thing, but a buzzer and
they can end it. And there are some personal attacks going on, but you know what? I guess that's part of it.
That's part about being in office.
That's right. And what this has done is cut back a lot of public comment, because now it's at the end of the evening, and I mean, some people, as Kayla Brown has said, is that, hey, look, I've got kids.
Right.
Other people have jobs. It's, you know, you come in there at 6 o'clock, and then all of a sudden you can't talk till 10.
Right.
And you got to listen through all this terminal amount of stuff that goes through there.
But more important than that is, you know, on Thursday you get what's going to happen on the next Tuesday meeting and what they're going to vote on.
Right.
So you get so many days. You don't have time to research and things like this.
Yeah.
Why should they be voting on something that the people have not had at least a couple of weeks in order to review?
Okay.
So I would make sure that if something's going to be voted on, that people know what's come on the upcoming calendars so that they can prepare and that the city council can listen to the people at a time before they've made up their mind. Because once they're in that meeting and they're going to vote on something that night and the people have learned Thursday what they're going to vote on, there isn't enough time to gather people together and come up with, you know, an other ideas, or, you know, either for it or against it. And that's very, very important that we listen to the people beforehand. So I would put, here's what's coming up on the future calendars, and let people hear from them, because that's what we're there for. We're being elected by the people for the people.
Exactly. People need to be heard. Mike Quinn is our guest here. We're live on KCNR 1460. Mike Quinn's running for city council. Remember, November 4th is the day to vote. Now, remember, we've got two tickets still left for tonight's performance of Hello Dolly at the Cascade Theater. Give us a call here, 605-4567, and have a fun time seeing the performance tonight. We'll be right back. KCNR 1460.
Hello, I'm Patrick Jones, and it's unfortunate that the Reading Peace Officers Association does not value volunteers in policing. Most cities in America do. In fact, I think it's one of Reading's strongest attributes. Quality people is what Reading is all about. And while the chief and I have had some early scheduling conflicts, I can assure you we are meeting weekly. So I hope you join me this November 4th and vote Patrick Jones for Reading City Council, paid for by the Committee to Elect Patrick Jones 2014.
At Cypress Sore Eyes on Cypress Avenue, we support our veterans and provide competitive prices and the personal service you can only get from a locally owned eye care professional. Right now, with your purchase of a complete pair of eyeglasses, we'll subtract $100, plus we'll give you a second pair of glasses absolutely free. This is a standalone offer, not valid with any other offers, discounts, coupons, or insurance programs. Some restrictions apply. Please see our store for complete details. Cypress Sore Eyes has same-day service, precision-crafted lenses, and a large selection of stylish designer frames. Or if your budget is tight, we also have a large selection of budget-friendly frames. Fast, friendly service, reasonably priced eyewear, and veterans discounts are our specialty at Sight for Sore Eyes on Cypress Avenue next to Leslie's Pools. We accept all current doctor's prescriptions, all major credit cards, and we do your insurance paperwork. Sight for Sore Eyes. Call 722-9992 for an appointment today. We look forward to serving you.
Vote yes on Measure A. Ban outdoor pot grows. Had enough of nauseous smells, crime, intimidation, water thefts, and environmental damage? Stop outdoor marijuana cultivation. Join us and vote yes on Measure A. Ban outdoor pot grows for a safe and healthy community. Vote yes on Measure A. For more information, or if you would like to help, call 225-8836. Paid for by Citizens for Yes on Measure A.
I'm Francie Sullivan, Vice Mayor of the City of Reading. I have deep roots in this area. I was born and raised in the Bitterroot Valley of Montana, but I've had family here since before Lassen erupted. My husband is retired and we could live anywhere. We choose to live in Reading. We love living in a friendly, generous town. We're grateful for the parks and trails that help keep us healthy. And we're grateful to live in a community that knows how to come together to solve problems. Together, we'll make Reading a safer town. I want to invite you the public to become part of the process, made up of all of you, the City Council, and city employees, to make Reading thrive and be the best place to live, work, and raise a family. With safe neighborhoods and quality jobs, I'm Francie Sullivan. I'd appreciate your vote on November 4th for the Reading City Council. Paid for by the Committee to Elect Sullivan for City Council 2014.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and DeBott. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Northern Firearms Instruction. Ted Leidy has got a great operation going there. And on November 22nd and 23rd, he is offering a class, a concealed carry class for residents here, where all the proceeds will go to support Liberty on the Border, a exhibit down at Turtle Bay. This has got nothing to do with politics or anything. This is just a part of what KCNR is doing, 1460, in supporting exhibits down there and supporting letting people go in there and see what led up to the Civil War itself and aftermath of the Civil War. And Ted, on those classes, on those 2 days, you write a check. It's totally tax deductible, and you get your concealed carry. And not only that, but they will provide free firearm rental and ammunition for Shasta County residents who are taking this course. So that's November 22nd, 23rd. Give them a call at 999-1822 or check out readingccw.com. All right, our guest is Michael Quinn from running for Reading City Council. There's a lot of things everybody is talking about.
The chat room is full.
One
colors.
Right, a lot, and we got people on the line. Now, Mike, one of the things that they're trying to write, and I don't know why it takes so long, is ordinances against sitting in line on city street or city sidewalks. And the other one is no panhandling in the median. Would you support or oppose those?
Oh, I definitely support, the ban on those things. And, it's just uncalled for. And we know that a lot of the panhandlers actually come up from Sacramento because they make so much more money up here. Mm. So it's not even people that actually need help out there. That's a really interesting, idea that people say, well, hey, Reading's such a giving community. I'm going to go up there and make $600 a day. And they do come up here. It's not necessarily Reading people, not necessarily people passing through who need help. That's really you have to stop that number. It's dangerous in a number of ways, and it doesn't look good. And there are ways to help. There's so many people out here. People complain, well, we have too many agencies that are going to help. Well, then we should at least stop that part and say, hey, here's where you can get help, and use those agencies.
Okay, I mean that's right, and I think that I don't know what's taken so long for these ordinances. It's been since July when this thing was brought up, and here it is. November, and we still don't have these ordinances.
That's right. And is it the number one priority for our police department when they've got real crimes out there,
it still has to go through the attorney. What the hell is he doing? Except writing nasty letters about Shuffleburger. Okay, let's go to the phones. Gene, good morning. Do you have a question for Mike Quinn?
Yes, I do. I wanted to know, they've already, REU, since he was on the board, and I wanted to know what his position was on putting REU clear out on Airport Road.
Okay, we were, as a commission, we were not informed of that. It was a fairly new commission. We'd met one or two times and we got the notice that they had chosen the building. They took the vice chair of out there to show him which building they had chosen. This was absurd to me. It was crazy. People complained about Taj Mahal over here. It cost $26 million, yet we're spending $12 million on a building in a area in which we cut 30 jobs. So why did they need – and then they turned around and bought two lots behind it as investment. The city is not an investment company. And then we lost the bid on the furniture to a Sacramento company. This thing, $12 million for a building.
Is that we're not even buying the furniture from local area here?
Who didn't? Yes, that happened at a city council meeting in which there was no preference given to a local business, and we lost that. And Mr. Jones came up with a solution. He said, "Look, this half of the bid was good for the Sacramento company. And this half was good for Reading. Let's at least split it down the middle." They voted that down.
Who voted for that? Who were the ones that voted for that?
3-2. You do the math.
Okay, 3-2. So that would have been Rick, Missy, and Francie then.
Right.
Okay, Gene, did that answer your question, or are you thoroughly livid now?
It did, sir, and you got my vote, because going out there for people who go in and pay their bills and have to get clear out there and they don't even have a car, I think that was atrocious.
Now, there's something else.
Thanks a lot, Gene, for your question. You know what? We asked him about that. What are you going to do about people that need help out there?
Well, I was on the original police building commission, and we chose the site down there where they're building this one, only it would have had a gun range in the basement, and it would have been all the police would have been in one building. We didn't even need that airport road. REU would have stayed where they were at. So this whole thing, to me, that's a real thorn in my side and a few other places.
Okay, the illegal camps are all over the place here.
Yes. The other day we went out to one of the illegal camps that's on private property. You know what? I'd send the bill to the guy on the private property, because if he owns that piece of property, it's up to him to police that. It's not the city of Reading that should be sending our people out there and paying for it. That's private property. Send him a bill. Maybe if he gets started getting bills, he'll put a fence around it, or he'll sell it to somebody who will take care of it. It is not our business to go in there and police up private property. You know, you can send them an abatement and say, look, this property is going to be condemned if you allow this to continue to happen. You go fix it, not us.
There's a lawsuit. McNeil's going to be on our show next week. There's a lawsuit that's working its way through the courts that could have a tremendous impact on the city of Reading.
If they lose the pilot lawsuit, and that is the property tax in lieu of that the city gets, and this REU is the big one in this one, is that when they build something, they said if this was owned by a private company, we would get property tax. Therefore, we're going to charge REU property tax. And they get $6 million a year from REU to the City of Reading General Fund. Guess what? If they lose that lawsuit, they have to pay it back to REU, $24 million, and then they lose $6 million a year into the general fund. That lawsuit is the biggest thing that nobody's talking about, and I'm glad you brought that up. It's huge, the implications that will happen. That, number one, the city doesn't have $24 million to give back to REU. I do have a solution for this, and because you've got to be thinking again of the future and the numbers. But they will also lose $6 million a year going into their general fund at a time when we need more police.
Is REU playing fast with the figure? You're on the commission. They bought a building, from what I understand. I don't know if it's true or not, but it's twice of what it was worth. And then spending all the money to rehab it, and then buying $600,000 worth of furniture. I didn't realize that they bought it out of Sacramento and didn't even do anything with a local firm that could have provided it, right?
I spoke to the ex-mayor of Calistoga and asked him what they did, and he says 5% that they had for local preference, and we need that. Now, that would be on, there's limits on purchases and some of the things you can do, and some of the big contractors actually don't want that done on major projects because it would stop them from bidding on projects out of the city of Reading. You know, it's the same thing with any tariff. You raise a tariff, somebody else raises a tariff, and so, but on things like that, there should have been a 5% preference. You know, the person who got the contract to build the police building and all this, I mean, there were real close bids on there. Why wasn't there something to keep that money here? And, yeah, you've got to get into the business of business. And that's one of my slogans, is making Reading business is the business of Reading.
Where are you going to be in the next 4 or 5 days as you're campaigning up to November 2nd?
I'm going to go find a cabin in the woods with no cell phones.
Where else can people reach you with these last-minute decisions people need? But they're still trying to make decisions before November's.
I'm making phone calls to people. I'm going out and meeting with people. I'm answering stuff. I'm putting out emails to all my friends and stuff like this and saying, okay, here's the issues. Contact everybody that you know and tell them. Get on the phones and just tell everybody. And if somebody hears it 2 or 3 times from different people who they trust, they're going to understand that this is very important. But I'm running on the numbers. I've said that from the very, very first day. I'm running on numbers. And I do budgets, and they're realistic, and we will bring things under control. When you have the controls in place and you've got your budget set, that's where you start. And they've got to be realistic, and they've got to be done quickly, and they've got to be able to be tracked.
One of the things you just said about this 5%, is 5% for city and county. Is that in writing that someplace that we should make it so that, you've got a city or county resident, why not give them a 5%
boost? Well, the way it was explained at that meeting was that that bid did not qualify for anything, so therefore they couldn't give any preference, and they couldn't even give a preference on the half and half. So if it isn't written, it better be written. It needs to be written right now.
I'm going to ask this because I've asked everybody.
Who do you want to see sitting on the council on your right and left?
You know, I don't care because I'm running by the numbers. My numbers are right down the middle. They don't lie. When you set your budget and you've got in there and you track it and then you spend that money, that's where you go. It's pretty easy for everybody to look and see where you're headed.
Last thoughts. You got this last minute here before we have to run.
You know, I really appreciate, you know, everybody in the community, the support. I appreciate the questions because it's made us, you know, all the people that are running aware of what the people out there want to hear and what they want. And I go back to action. I am a historian. I always look at history. How do we get here so we don't repeat the mistakes? And then I go back and I go back to the numbers. And I'm used to budgeting and they've heard my story over and over and over. Well, I budget and I budget and I budget and I get down so that you know when something's wrong. And then you correct it. And that's part of the problem here is there's no correction. You keep going in the wrong direction and you don't watch those numbers. Then you get yourself in trouble, but you don't know it until it's too late. So I run on numbers, and I've been doing, you know, corporate controller and doing budgets for people that held us to the penny, and they've heard that story before. In a multimillion-dollar company, we budgeted to the penny because every penny was $30,000 a day. So important, you know, that this is a very important election. Please vote. Please exercise your right and, you know, check in and make your choices and vote for me.
Mike, I have to admit, we've answered more questions than any other time coming through here, so it's been fast. You obviously have a grasp on all this. Thanks a lot for being here, and good luck on the election.
Thank you very much.
Okay, and on Monday, we're coming right back up with the last day before the election. Patrick Jones will be here with us and a lot of other people. Have a great weekend, everybody. Be careful. Watch for those little goblins out there tonight. Remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you? And I'll keep this
world. The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
Seek the death penalty for Eric Freen, suspected of killing one Pennsylvania state trooper and seriously wounding another in an ambush 7 weeks ago. Freen had his first court appearance today following his capture yesterday in northeastern Pennsylvania. Pike County District Attorney Raymond Tonkin says authorities have been interrogating Freen.
We have now started to find the answers that the community desired in this case.
Freen was jeered by onlookers as he emerged from the courthouse this morning, escorted by police to jail. He'll stay there until his next court date on November 12th. State health officials in Maine have gotten a 24-hour court order restricting the movements of nurse Casey Hickox, limiting her travel and banning her from public places. Hickox is fighting home quarantine following her return from